live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 215. Tonight's the night, ladies and gentlemen. It is the night we waited for in the city of Indianapolis. It's draft night, and the Indiana Pacers right now currently have the sixth pick overall. I'm your host, Jonathan Birdsong, will be joining me momentarily. We've got a show tonight. We'll bring him on. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderful, man. I know we got a long way to go and a short time to get there, man. So, we've had a lot of huge sports moments in the last week since you last chatted it up, man. So, we're getting all that, but please, Brandon, give us the rundown for the show tonight.
Tonight's very NBA-centric, as you would expect. We've got news and notes, off-season talk. We've got the Warriors winning the NBA Finals. We've got that big moment, MVP. Like we said, we've got the big one tonight. We've got an hour. Adam Silver, if he doesn't have COVID anymore, will go up and announce the first pick in the NBA draft. Our Pacers, it's a big moment for the Pacers in this organization, so we'll be talking that as well. News and notes from around the league. We've got Matty Fitzpatrick winning the U.S. Open. A little bit of talk there. We've got an interview with Ken Barlow, former basketball great. He'll be rejoining the show tonight. We're going to talk his new book that's out. He started this book back in 2019 when we first had him on, and it is out now. And so we'll talk to Ken Barlow, see how he's doing. Some news and notes if we get to it this week. And then we are going to do live reaction as the NBA draft kind of goes on with the picks, including our very own Indiana Pacers pick at pick six. Jonathan, and since we've last talked, Jonathan and Dan Nockich both have their own thing going at each other. They went out each other live on the air, which if you haven't seen, please go to the Facebook page for Crossroads Sports. It's on there. Calling Jonathan a clown and called him out to call in, and Jonathan calls in, and then Dan tries to overtake the show. Hey, you want me to plug your little podcast? Well, Dan, you've already done that, for number one. So just saying that is a plug, and really need you to plug it, Dan. I know you've got your – What did he say, John? He's got his boats, his houses to thank you for buying
right,
and all that.
He got his boats and his new knives, new kitchen sets, man. Said, you know, me chopping back and forth with him and his followers, helping pay for all that, man. So as much as everybody says they're struggling in this economy with gas prices and inflation, man, Dan Dockins is doing real well, man. So, man, it was a little, you know, me and Dan – I'll be honest with you, Brandon, and Crossroads listening audience, man. It's gonna shock some of the folks, man. Me and Dan opinions probably line up a little bit better. Probably line up like more closely when the sports opinion, right? His and I sports opinions probably line up pretty evenly, right? It's just when he goes like far left, and I don't name call. That's kind of Dan's thing. When he goes far left and starts with name-calling and, you know, starts mixing in political, right, it's when we have our, you know, disagreements, man. And, you know, I guess I was getting too much on his nerves. I was probably telling too much of the truth. And I got called out. He said, anytime you want to call in, he said it like three times. So I got texts from you. I got texts from some of the other Crossroads listeners. My homie Justin texted me. I'm like, all right, man, somebody, you know, what's the old Ric Flair, I know the quote, if somebody's out here calling my name, you know, somebody here calling my name, then, you know, you got to oblige them, man. But it's so like nobody wanted to hurt Dan or anything like that. I know he sits up there and try to, you know, sell this image of somebody's going to punch him in the face or whatever. Right. No, just thoughts and conversations. That's all I kind of got for for Dan Dockish. But it's like next time, and I know Dan listens. Next time, don't hang up on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
it was his show, and he, you know, he got to get his point across. But when it was my time to shine, the phone went woo woo woo. So it's all good. We'll revisit it some other time, but not tonight. We got other things to talk about.
That I'm the dirtiest player in the game. Be dirty. I'm writing a book right now. The dirtiest player in the game. I will stop at nothing to stay on top. Stop at nothing. I will not move out of that big house.
All right. Thank you, Rick. By the way, his final match is coming up soon, so awesome. All right, John. NBA Finals, my man. The Golden State Warriors win their title. Steph, Clay, Draymond, their fourth. Steph Curry MVP. They win 103-90 in Boston. Celtics had a late charge, but my God, the three-pointers. Otto Porter from the corner three, whap. Otto Porter from the corner three, whap. Andrew Wiggins, whap. Steph finishing it off. John, Warriors win. They win the title. Therefore, they are a dynasty. No questions asked. We both picked the Warriors to win the NBA championship. Kind of thoughts on game six victory and as well just kind of a wrap of them winning that NBA title?
Just a little unlikely. I think if you started the season, the NBA regular season last year, I think Golden State Warriors were probably in the top five as far as who could win it. Obviously, everybody thought the Lakers in Brooklyn, and once that kind of fell apart for both of those teams, you know what I'm saying, it kind of fell back into the regular season chance would that be the Phoenix Suns and started being favorites and Milwaukee. Well, you know, once the dust all settled, right, there can only be one. And here we have, you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond and crew back in the title picture again. So you have to take it to account the fact that they were the veteran team, kind of been there, kind of done that. Even though there were some new pieces, there, you know, what I'm saying, there's no David West on this team, there's no Kevin Durant on this team, you know, but there's new pieces. There's Andrew Wiggins, there's Jordan, you know, the emerging Jordan Poole. You know, so you have to catch that these guys are, you know, saying are on somewhat, so you know, saying uncharted waters, right? But that veteran group, you know, what I'm saying got the best. We didn't necessarily get the best version of Klay Thompson, right?
And
throughout the playoffs, he was real spotty. And I know you got some strong hot takes about Klay Thompson, but he did enough to where. You know what I'm saying? He was Steph did, you know what I'm saying, was the MVP. And that wasn't in doubt except for the previous game, game five when he went 0-9, right? And he looked like he still had like 21 points. So, guys, like I said, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, you know what I'm saying? They stepped up. They fulfilled roles necessary. Made shots, made clutch rebounds, made clutch defensive plays. You gotta tip your hat to all of them.
Breaking news. I think it's gonna be breaking news kind of night.
It's all good.
Breaking news from the NBA. Sacramento Kings have received their final offers from the New York Knicks, the Indiana Pacers, and the Oklahoma City Thunder for pick number 4. Sacramento is going to wait until they're on the clock to make the decision if they're going to trade or keep the pick.
Of course they are.
Why would you wait to the last minute? Why would you wait
to
the last minute?
They probably know. There's no way they don't know, right? I thought that it might even be – you said some of the teams. I thought they might even be a pick swap because they still – like I don't know – like, we're doing a deal. Like, I mean, everybody's kind of all in. If anybody knows, man, that pick's probably kind of slotted for Jaden Ivey, right? If you follow some of the like, pre-draft mocks or whatever. I think Banchero goes number one, or Jabari Parker kind of falls at number two. Somebody will take a risk. Damn it, I said Jabari Parker. That's what I get. Shame on me. Jabari Smith. Chet Holmgren probably falls in at number three, right? And he could actually fall between 5 and 6, too. It's possible. You know what I mean? I'm sorry Pacers fans just heard that. Got on and said, I'm not saying the Pacers don't pick Chet Holmgren, but if he's there at 6, it's potential. But I would say Jaden Ivey's probably going to be slotted. I never really had Jaden Ivey going past Detroit, honestly. So they are kind of loaded up at point guard at Sacramento. They don't and guard as well, and at two guard as well. So they're saying right now that they don't want to pick Jaden Ivey.
Yeah.
Right? So we shall see what we shall see.
More breaking news. It's been reported that the Philadelphia 76ers are trying to trade tonight and in the next few days for Eric Gordon from Houston. That could be involving a draft pick.
Okay. Well, hey, again, Eric Gordon, they got to get Eric Gordon and technically John Wall, who just re-upped with Houston, opted into his contract. They got to find those guys. That team is going in a different direction.
Matisse Thybulle for Eric Gordon involving Houston and Philly is what it's looking like.
Really?
Yes.
Not bad. That's not bad.
And some draft picks. I'm trying to get some more information on it.
Yeah, that's not bad. But still, that Houston's going in a different direction, going in a young direction. And obviously, you know, so Eric Gordon is still capable of hitting, you know, at least 4 threes a game. So there you go. We'll see some shooting come out of Philadelphia with Eric Gordon.
Back to the NBA Finals talk. If I get more breaking news, I'll bring it out. Is Klay Thompson tradable now?
No, ladies and gentlemen, don't let Brandon ask the question. That's his hot take, right? Is he tradable? Of course. If anybody remembers,
if you're Golden State, are you okay with trading him? I think so.
Will they at the end of his contract?
He averaged 18 points for the finals, but still, I think.
Right. Did it look that bad?
No, he didn't look that bad. I just think you've got enough other pieces where you can.
Right.
He's got good value. You can expand and bring something else back.
Right. Well, I don't think they would. If they trade him, they would potentially trade him for future picks. The real question, right, would be how much is Jordan Poole on the open market going to cost you after next year? You can extend him now, or he can go into full on free agency where you lose him next year. The same thing will be said of Andrew Wiggins, which I know, you know what I'm saying, when they made their trade from Minnesota, everybody thought that was a horrible trade. Now that trade netted them NBA championship. Yeah, because listen to me. Andrew Wiggins did some heavy lifting. Don't let anybody say that he didn't. Defensively, he did some heavy lifting, whether you think about the Dallas series or this particular series against Boston. Andrew Wiggins did do some heavy lifting. So what does that look? What is his number look like? He's coming off a $147 million contract. He ain't re-upping for 10. You know what I mean? So what is there, and then like I said, Jordan Poole's, you know, saying a player under, do believe, 25 NBA champion. You know what I'm saying? Two-way, can play both guard positions, shooting guard or point guard. What does his number look like? With the Golden State Warriors already being up against the salary cap and paying luxury tax, I know money sometimes in these leagues, NFL and NBA, money ain't real, but, you know, at some point they can't continue to, overspend to keep, you know what I'm saying, XYZ players on the team.
Andrew Wiggins, obviously he's worked himself. He had a great finals. I praise Wiggins a lot. I thought he gelled very well with this team. He stepped up. Hell, he damn near could have been the MVP too if it wasn't for Steph. But Wiggins played how we thought Wiggins should play from a few years ago. He really stepped into his own. My question is, and I've been thinking to myself, does Wiggins – he's obviously going to be getting a huge contract coming up at some point. He's still there in Golden State. Do we expect them to do a long-term deal with Wiggins with this, or do you trust it? This is not just a one-and-done or a two-and-done with Wiggins next year. That's kind of where I'm kind of hesitant if Clay's really tradable, because maybe Clay gets a little better in the offseason if Wiggins digresses. Jordan Poole, it's not to say Jordan Poole doesn't digress either going into next season.
Right.
But, I mean, hell, he could get better. You never know. I just wonder, with Wiggins playing that new contract, or where do you look? Because, I mean, the GM just said that he wants to bring everybody back. And, John, if you look at that, that roster and that salary cap, they're going to be deep into that luxury tax. They're going to be paying for my kids' 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 kids.
Right. They're already the number one team spends the most money. You know what I'm saying? So can they find a happy medium number? Or potentially could they restructure Clay and Steph so that other guys can get paid? There will have to be still, though, Brandon. I'm not an accredited capologist or anything like that. I just kind of play one. I kind of listen to the tea leaves and kind of read the tea leaves. You know what I'm saying? Can they shed some contracts? You know what I'm saying? Some unimportant contracts. I mean, it could be possible they'll shed James Wiseman. Like, how much help did he really – has he helped him the last two seasons?
Right.
You know, and I know, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to necessarily give away all that potential or potentially just renounce his rights, but that's potentially what they could be doing to save money. So it remains to be seen. I think you do got to pay him, though, whatever the market kind of says that their talent is worth. But I think you do have to pay him. So if they can bring him back, I'm all in. Bring him on back.
Yeah, I've got a little more information on that trade. The Sixers are trying to acquire Eric Gordon using Matisse Thybulle as an asset, even attempting to get a third team to participate, according to multiple league sources. The Portland Trailblazers are willing to make a straight-up deal for Thybulle, sources say. Sixers president Daryl Morey wants the Blazers to do a three-team deal in order to get Gordon, more sources say. So, I mean, Portland's obviously made a move. They went out and got why is it flipping my name right now, John? Who the Portland just get? They just picked up.
They've got the forward from Detroit.
Yes, they got Jeremy Grant. So they're trying to build pieces there to keep Dame happy out there. We'll kind of see what happens with that. As it keeps going, the Pistons are also interested in Colin Sexton. I know Colin Sexton's been talked with the Indiana Pacers, but I just don't see that, especially with the kind of where the Pacers are looking to go with this roster. And we'll kind of talk Pacers here shortly. But back to the NBA Finals to put a bow on this thing. Number two questions for you, John. Number one, can the Boston Celtics repeat and come to the NBA Finals again? And secondly, what did they do with Marcus Smart? Because that,
right.
You need more production out of it. I understand he's a defensive player of the year, and you're crazy if you get rid of him, but you got to have more production and offensively from it, and you're not getting it. So can they make it back? And B, what do you do with Smart?
Do you remember – I'd like to give a history lesson, right? Do you remember Jason Williams with the Kings and how erratic sometimes he played? And then they made it. They went another year with it, and they was like they kind of pointed it to like his erratic play as the factor that keeping them back. And then they in the offseason they made the trade for him and Mike Bibby, and so the Kings never did make it to the finals. There's a whole other set of circumstances around that. You know what I'm saying? We've talked about it before. You know, in that Lakers series back in the day, back in 2000. But like, nah, man, this is kind of shades of that. Marcus Smart, but here's the thing, though, Brandon. It shades of that, but it's also like he's also been the kind of the calm that they've had different league guards try to lead the team, whether it was, you know, Kyrie Irving or the other kid they traded to on that golden free agency to Charlotte. So I really think they keep Smart. I really do. Do they need another ball handler on the floor to get the team back into their set? That's what I would suggest.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And they can go, maybe they go get Brogdon. I mean, maybe Brogdon's that asset for them to be that point guard role.
Brandon, I was thinking you said Brogdon. I was thinking Ricky Rubio. There's all kind of guards out here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That I can Brogdon's a little bit more offensively. A little bit better than Ricky Rubio, but yeah, they just need basically a ball handler where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown aren't doing all the work, where they can get in half court sets, and then I do know there's a lot of one on one play with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? But sometimes I feel like they're initiating their one on one, you know what I mean? They're the main primary point guard, both of them, you know what I mean? So they gotta if Boston could curb their turnover problem, they would have had a game seven. I can't necessarily say that I still had Golden State. The Golden State still have more firepower when you talk about returning, they got to be considered turning. But when you talk about Boston returning back to being tops in the East, you got to consider it, Brandon. You got to think about them being 1-2, Boston and Milwaukee, and you know what I'm saying, and whatever yeah. hell happens with Brooklyn, who knows? They'll be probably 3 or 4. But Boston and Milwaukee, I mean, yeah, 1-2 for sure. But they gotta find a better way to, you know what I'm saying, curb their you know what I'm saying, ball handling issues and turnovers, because that's ultimately what killed them in the finals.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Definitely need to get a point guard in there, a true point guard. And even it's not Williams. The small forward for Boston, Derek White. I mean, he fell off in the NBA Finals. He had a horrible NBA Finals, and I was expecting a kind of yeah. a big performance from him, but he just got shut down. I expect a healthy Robert Williams next year. That can help Boston there. I think and get them a little bit further there. And like you said, Tatum's just got to take care of the ball. I mean, my God, I think he had more turnovers than the Center Grove JV basketball team
there.
So we'll see. I think Boston can get back there. I don't think they need to make too many moves, but they definitely need to get a point guard. And there's a market for him. Like you said, I think Brogdon would be a good piece for them to go in. You want somebody that who's sustainable, who can play that offense, who has offense, who can be a distributor. I think the only question they're going to have is the same question Pacers fans have. Can Malcolm Brogdon stay healthy? You know, your best ability is your availability. So can he do that? So we'll see what Boston does. And it's not Danny Ainge running it. Danny's out in Utah, so it's Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is in charge of this team. We'll see what kind of pieces he's decided to make. And does Marcus Smart really fit in here with this team? Or can you use him in a trade? I think that's something to look forward to. This offseason as it starts to heat up. So we'll find out more with that. John, NBA, Indiana Pacers, it's that time tonight. Indiana Pacers with the sixth pick. So with the sixth pick in the 2022 NBA draft, John, I put out my mock last night. I've got the Indiana Pacers selecting Ben Mathurin from Arizona. Because I'm at that point now where you need best available over position needs at the sixth pick. You're still going best available. I think he's going to be there because I think Keegan Murray's going at 5. I got Ivy at 4. The odds for number one's changed 3 times today, which is crazy on DraftKings. So I've put a little bit of money on all 3 of them as they were leaders today. So going to make something a little bit, but Mathurin, Keegan Murray. Let me tell you these 2 things. I also know we were dead after the All-Star break. We were the worst team in defense after the All-Star break. Facts, rankings wise, we were last. Tyrese Haliburton says he's turning the Woj notifications on, and it's about to be a movie. LOL. So I think I'm good with Keegan. I'm good with Mathurin. I think we go with Mathurin route. He's the best athlete. He's a great athlete. I think that's what we're looking for. Jaden Daniels, I know we were sucking in defense. Jaden Daniels is a great two-way player. He's young, obviously.
Right.
He can play defense. I just don't know how much he's going to withstand in the league. And, you know, I know we need a two-way player. He would be that two-way player. Our defense was atrocious. So we can see what happens there. Shaden Sharp, I was on, and then I'm off because just how we kind of went through and treated Kentucky. Is Shaden Sharp really a guy that's going to stay in Indiana, you know, as soon as his rookie year's up? Or is he going to bounce? Is he going to be truthful on his injuries, kind of unlike Kentucky with Coach Cal and all? I'm seeing more red flags there with that, so that scares me. I'm fine with A.J. Griffin. I think Griffin's guy going to go more 8-9 category, but Pacers brought in Griffin, so you go A.J. Griffin, Ben Mathurin, Keegan Murray, that kind of route. I don't think Ivy's going to fall, unfortunately, unless we trade up, and obviously we're looking to possibly trade up with Sacramento. I think it'd be easier if we didn't already trade with Sacramento and basically bamboozle them in that trade for Haliburton and them. So what's your thoughts, John? We're, less than 30-something minutes away before the draft starts. I've got Pacers taking Ben Mathurin in the end.
Well, you know me.
Available athlete.
Right. I did my pre-draft probably like a month before the draft, man. So I had the Pacers, barring the trade, I had the Pacers picking Keegan Murray. Now, Keegan Murray has been, there's been some, you know saying, some people other than the Pacers showing interest, Detroit being right in front of the Pacers showing some interest, because it's a position for need for them as well, 6 foot eight, 6 foot nine, tweener four, small four, power four, who wouldn't want that? The ceiling on Keegan Murray is probably, you know what I'm saying, he's probably got a little bit more ceiling, but, it's not that much more. You know what I'm saying? So he's a little bit older already. He's like 24, 25 already. So what you see is what you're kind of going to get with Keegan Murray for the next two or three seasons, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Of course, he has potential to get better. But, again, you know what I'm saying, we're not talking about a 19, 20-year-old kid who, you know what I'm saying, who kind of got to learn. He's ready to play, which is good. You know what I'm saying? If the Pacers do select him at six, it's just that the fact that his ceiling is not as high as some of these other guys, right? When you say Ben Mathurin, I know I jacked up his name, but I won't, especially if the Pacers are picking. You're talking about an athlete. It's something that the Pacers, at least on the perimeter, haven't had since Victor Oladipo's first operation. You know, before he tore, you know what I'm saying, before he tore his knee. The first time. So could they get a little more, could they feel the need to be a little bit more athletic by picking the Arizona swingman? Absolutely. I wouldn't be mad at that either. I do not believe, unfortunately, like you said, I do not believe Jaden Ivey is there at pick six. If you're telling me the Pacers picking Daniels, I have to give you a long pause. If the Pacers are picking Daniels at pick six, that means they're going to keep Miles Turner. They'll be the two primary defensive catalysts for the defense. But if we're going all in, we're more offense on the floor. There's still a potential trade for Miles to be shipped up out of there. Here's what I know. Malcolm Brogdon will not be an Indiana Pacer come start of the season, right?
No.
I think they are 70-30, 70 in keeping. 30, I'm not keeping Miles Turner. Because, again, they kind of like the production. They think Miles Turner can be Al Horford. And they put up similar stats. You know what I'm saying? They really do. If you look at it, it's just that Miles consistently is not inconsistently on offense. Then, like, dude, when you want to be the feature, you never kind of show up. So they feel that, you know what I'm saying, Miles can be a stretch four. You know what I'm saying, and can get rebounds, definitely can block. We definitely know he can block shots with the best of them. So we shall see. If Daniels is the pick, then Miles Turner stays 100%. If it's anybody else, if Chet Holmgren, Brandon, I know you're going to cry. If Chet Holmgren falls to pick, then expect Miles Turner to be long gone.
I hope to God not. I hope not. Real quick before our circus act is on the hold right now, waiting to give their final takes before this.
Okay.
I'm okay with, Miles, if we end up keeping him, to build around this possibly. But, the fact that Woj said yesterday the Pacers' plan is to reshape their roster, move towards a rebuild under Carlisle. Indiana likes multiple prospects in the late lottery in hope of adding another pick. Malcolm Brogdon will be moved, and they must find better offers on Miles. If you're going to – okay, he says it right there, Woj says, if you're going to rebuild, and I heard JMV, friend of the program, say today, if you're going to rebuild, then go all in and rebuild, by God, and put whatever pieces you have to do to get up there to get that number four pick, that number three pick. Throw it in there, because if you're really in this rebuild – what the hell? Throw it in there, right? So we'll see. I agreed with JMV on that, and I thought about it today myself. We'll see. Only time will tell. We got a little bit here. We'll bring them on. I'm going to bring them on individually because we can't do a circus act tonight with it. So, all right, Decott, you were first one on the list that called in. What's up, Decott?
First of all, thanks for not allowing that be added to this call. I really appreciate that. A couple of hot points I want to hit on because my cell service may go out. If the Pacers don't need to give up the whole farm to move up two spots for potential Jaden Ivey. There's a lot of athleticism in this draft, and you don't want to give up way too much for a kid like, not that Jaden Ivey can't play. Yes, he can play. He's probably going to be a very good player. But I like the kid from Golden State more, the 19-year-old Kuminga. Kuminga. I like him better. He's better than any player in this draft currently right now. And you all were just talking about Golden State paying guys. They're not going to be able to pay everybody. And that kid is 19 on his rookie contract. I get it. But there's going to be a point in time where he says, I'm not going to continue to sit here and do this, and there's going to be some problems, no matter how bad you want guys to stay in line. I say you go call Golden State. You do something with them, whatever it is, if it's Turner, because they do need a guy that can protect the rim. Looney's a nice player, but he can't protect the rim like Turner can. Then you go down the line, and you look to see if you can make a deal for that Blake Wesley guy. You talk about athleticism. That's what the Pacers have lacked the last couple of years. You add Kuminga, you add Blake Wesley, and you retool that backcourt as you've done with Haliburton. I think you got something there. Yes, I think Turner needs to go. I think Brogdon needs to go at this point. But I think there's a point of diminishing returns, right? And I think they both heard their names enough to say, you know, I don't want to be there anymore. So I say you go athleticism. I really like Blake Wesley from Notre Dame. Just something about that kid in the NCAA tournament, I liked him.
Because his workout wasn't as great as they thought they were, as his camp thought they were going to be. But I think he's got a huge upside. So
you're right.
It's just a little laborious offensively. That's all. You know, say with the jump shot, everything else he got.
Exactly, and one of the things that we talk about always is getting guys on the court that can guard and can run, and he can do both of those things. A lot of guys can learn to shoot, right? He's 18 years old still. I don't think he turns 19 till the fall, if I remember right. Or maybe he's 19 or like, yeah. So I say you go athleticism, you go length, you don't give up the farm for Jaden Ivey. I don't believe in the hometown deal, right? We've seen a lot of that in Indiana from the Colts and the Pacers. Just it hasn't worked out like we thought it would. I like him as a player. I just don't think you give up six and a rotation player for two spots. I just don't think you do that. So that's my take on it. I do like the kid from Arizona a lot, Brandon. I don't know that I think he'll be there, and if we don't make a trade, you're probably right. It'll either be him or the big man from Duke. I can't remember his name. It wouldn't surprise me if they do something odd. Think about what the Pacers have done the last 20 years. We never know what they're going to do. Gogo Batazic, the kid from Nebraska, you know, and on.
Because I'm like, bring on Ted Holmgren. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what? It wouldn't surprise me. If he's available, I'll tell you.
Screw it. Let's put him and Goga out there together.
Yeah. Listen, no, I don't care what I don't care what they say. Larry Bird is still pulling strings there, okay? So I'm not going to hold up the show. But we're going to go athleticism. We're going to go length. We can't give up the farm for Jaden Ivey. I would definitely be right there watching, and I'll be cheering my boys on. But I think they go athleticism, not the farm for Jaden Ivey, and look for the kid from Notre Dame. Listen, he's projected as a late one. We've got pick 31, so we won't have to do a lot of movement there, right? So I'm telling you, pay attention to that. Blake Wesley, he's my guy. Hey, I love the show, guys. I can't wait to hear your take. Yes.
Hey, let's. This is a franchise. I said on Twitter earlier, this is a franchise altering night. So, between the three,
we're talking about that, right?
even Reggie on hold. Hey, everybody, let's just say a prayer in about a half hour. So,
absolutely.
Everybody, say a little prayer.
Hey, and also, let's go Red Nine. Also, by the way,
I got a
feeling Red Nine. Yeah, I'm feeling Red Nine tonight, and we'll see what happens.
All right,
I'll definitely message you guys and keep you posted. I'll be there watching. I love the show, guys. Have fun. And unfortunately, I'll be listening to the other guy when he comes on.
All right. Thanks, sir. See ya. All right. That's D-Kyle. We'll bring on Reggie Sykes. What's going on, Reg?
What's going on, fellas? And first of all, I am not the circus act. That would be the clown. That'd be D-Kyle. Secondly, he needs to go black 3, red 5, and red 7. Right. And Y'all are really on some crap today. I heard three foolish men talking about Ricky Rubio and all that.
Uh-oh.
What the hell is he talking about? I came in late on that one. But
I said the Boston.
The Pacers, you're talking about the Pacers, Miles not being productive. It's kind of hard to be productive when you got to guard the paint because your people are not guarding anybody. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, stay fresh when you got to play guard all five men because, you know, your team in the past has lacked defense. Okay? I see nothing wrong with Malcolm Brogdon still being on the team if you can't get what you need. Because I see how he bought into not having the ball in his hand. We all agree that Tyrese has got to have the ball in his hand because he makes things happen. Next, D. Cock don't know what he's talking about. The last couple of moves Pacers have made have actually been great. They've did a lot of stuff to secure their bench. Brochette, Washington off the bench. They've did pretty good with last year's draft pick, Durante. And what's his name,
yeah.
Washington, and even though he got hurt in the end. So that's a lot of athleticism right there. So I'm kind of interested in seeing Miles play with that group. Unless you're going to get – don't lose like the Detroit Pistons lost in the Jeremy Grant trade. Don't do that. I mean, they just gave him away for popcorn, just like Phoenix gave us T.J. Warren for popcorn, you know?
Uh-huh.
So
overrate these 6-10 jump shooters, man. Don't overrate them, man. Don't.
I'm not overrating. But if you don't know how to play defense, it's kind of hard when you got the defense and offense on both sides, you know? Yeah. But if you can get the right trade for Miles or Brogdon, I would be on board. I would really hate to lose Miles. I understand that. People don't really like him, and I understand people don't like Malcolm Brogdon. But if you look at the small sample size, Brogdon actually played better off of the ball last year when we got the trade for Tyrese. You got to still think
you
got Buddy Hyde on that team, too. And
Red,
we didn't know Buddy Hyde.
Right. Red, you've been beating that drum, and you're right. You're right. You are absolutely right that Malcolm Brown plays better off guard. It's the fact that when we need him the most, he's never out there. I'm telling you right now, he will not be with the Pacers come October.
I mean, I'm not gonna be mad either way if he's here or not.
I think Miles is
don't give him away for free.
Well,
don't
you know what?
That's what I'm
we're
saying.
we're probably gonna get somebody else's disgruntled player as well, or something else.
First of all, we have got to find a way to re-sign Smith.
I don't know if we're gonna be able to.
I know he's gonna demand a lot of money, but we've got to be able to retain him. But I'm okay with the kid out of Iowa. You know, people said Durante was too old. How old is he, 21, 22, with a baby and a wife? They said he was too old. I think he's perfect. I think Murray can come in and produce right away just like that. So I really
When's the last time when's the last time we had a 6'8 wing with a good wingspan, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I don't know why
this
people
is getting
talking about they don't want Murray. Murray's good. But if you can move down to number four, without giving up the form, you know, Ivy, she played for the Fever owned by the Pacers. That was a good tie-in. And I do agree with D-Cott. Usually the hometown heroes have a hard time making it. I think the last hometown hero to make it, I hate to say it, was James. And then he became a heel because he demanded a trade to the Heat after that, or he left for the Heat after that. But it's hard when you plan for your hometown team, Jeff George, and other players who play for their home team have had hard times playing, you know.
Right.
So Russ Westbrook, ain't he from L.A.? He's having a hard time. They boo him like crazy out there, don't they? But I really think it would be different with Ivy. You know, besides all these IU people who said, well, I'm not going to cheer for the Pacers if they draft a Purdue player. Get the hell out of here. That's like an argument between three foolish men and Dan Dockage. You just can't do that.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't listen to Dan Dockus, but since y'all going back and forth, I see a little bit on Twitter. What time does this show come on? I'm about to start maybe checking them out a little bit, you know. Maybe I have to give a call in and comment, you know, instead of calling in to JMV all the time since y'all say I'm a little biased on
Red,
that show.
Red, you know? you too strong for Dan Dockus, man. He's a weakling, man. Believe me. I only listen to him because he got some good basketball takes. That's about it. Other than that, man, you ain't missing nothing. And I say this because I know you listen to the show.
Yeah, well, he talks about he's from Gary or Maryville. And Maryville and Gary is a big difference, man. You know, some of your takes, you know, I have heard some of his takes. I'm like, man, what the hell? You know, I can listen. What time do we come on? Maybe I do need to call in to his show. When does the show come on?
12 o'clock noon. So.
Oh, you come on the same time as Jim Rohn. Okay.
Yeah,
Jim. Yeah, your boy Jim Rohn. Oh, God, don't get me started on him.
That's another favorite.
Hey, they got the smack off this weekend, tomorrow, I think. Smack off tomorrow, Monday, one of them. So yeah. I'll probably listen to that. I'm going to check out Dan, though.
Okay. All right, Reg.
I'm really confused on what the Pacers are going to do. Love the show. Next time, don't take me behind the clown because I have to come and clean up his mess because he don't know nothing. And love the show, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Reg. All right, John. Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls. Well, he used to be King of Trolls. I don't know. He doesn't troll as much anymore.
No, he doesn't troll as much anymore. I meant to ask him about his golf game, man. I know y'all went golfing Tuesday.
John, this was a great week not to ask him. It was rough.
Oh, okay, I got you.
It was rough. So he would be the first one to say it, and that's all I'm gonna leave it at. It was rough.
He won't be getting invited to the Live Tour. I got it.
little bit of breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski, as I reported on the draft show, and Duke's Paolo Banchero has joined Auburn's Jabari Smith under serious considerations to be the franchise's number one overall pick. For Orlando, there's a real chance draft boards could get blown up at the top of the lottery. And just like that, John, DraftKings' odds went from Jabari being the heavy favorite to this morning flipping to Banchero being the heavy favorite to when mm-hmm. me leaving work this evening, Smith was back as the favorite to just now it's moving back towards Banchero again. Does Orlando really know what they're going to do with this number one pick? Which is a better fit for him, in your opinion? I think it's Banchero.
I think Paolo Banchero is a better pick for him. They're real already perimeter heavy, wing heavy. So bringing another – because, like, he's not going to play a dominant position like he did at Auburn this when he gets to the NBA. He had a lot of sensational blocks, a lot of loud, spectacular dunks. At that level, I'm not saying he's not going to have those moments here in the NBA and doing his rookie campaign and going further, but he won't be the force that he was in the paint like he was with Auburn. So I would go with I think Pablo is the better skilled player.
Yeah.
So that's who Orlando should be picking, and I'm not saying that because I'm a Duke homer at all.
Indiana Pacers, back to the Pacers. Pacers, obviously, we talked about looking to trade Turner and Brogdon. The Knicks and Wizards are interested in Brogdon. The Hornets are interested in Miles Turner. Why you say that? The Hornets are trying to trade Gordon Hayward and one of their first-round picks, either 13 or 15, to clear cap space for the Miles Bridges max, which we both thought was a horrible deal if they decided to do that. But could you – I kind of like the idea of trading Miles to the Hornets and us getting a cap issue with Gordon Hayward for a little bit and a mid-round lottery pick, 13 or 15, that we can use.
Right.
Either Gordon can leave at trade deadline on a trade or we can just kind of cut the little ties there. I kind of like it. I heard it today and I said, you know what? I kind of like that a little bit. So.
Right. I wouldn't have any issue with that either as well. I think at some point a veteran team like a Lakers, like a Clippers, like a Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying, somebody that's really heavy, hot and heavy trying to compete for a championship, even a Dallas, they're going to come calling looking for Gordon Hayward. If anybody remembers the last three seasons,
Yeah.
The Charlotte Hornets have asked about the services of Miles Turner every you know, saying trade deadline, every February. They ask about the service, and the Pacers are ultimately decline them. So if the Pacers front office are going full, you know, full restart, rebuild, he would be the piece that they, you know, say, okay, Miles, we're not going to send you to basketball purgatory. You know, saying we're going to send you over to, you know, saying the GOAT, Michael Jordan. And hell, what's his name's getting ready to be the coach there? D'Antoni.
Yeah. Crazy that Agassiz turned it down afterwards.
Yeah, right. That's nuts, right? But, like, D'Antoni, maybe D'Antoni figures out, you know what I'm saying, the best version of Miles Turner, and maybe it's, you know what I'm saying, better for him than, and Miles Bridges and that cast of characters as well, in his style of play. It probably suit better. It might better suit him. So, you know, I wouldn't be too upset about it.
Here is see if this audio clip will play. This is Shams talking a little bit Brooklyn situation.
Well, it's going to surround the Brooklyn Nets, and sources tell me that Kevin Durant is seriously mulling his future options with the Nets. He's been monitoring the situation over the last several weeks, the last several months, and there's an expectation that Kyrie Irving will now proceed shortly into finding a new home via an opt-in and trade potential situation. And there are several teams that he would likely consider. Some of them I reported earlier this week. When you look at the Lakers, the Knicks, the Clippers, those are three suitors that are expected to emerge out of probably several teams that would have interest in acquiring Kyrie Irving via sign and trade. The Nets have until June 29th to come up with an opt-in and trade that would allow the team to get some sort of value for Kyrie Irving, because this is a guy, a seven-time All-Star. Of course, we know he only played in 20-some games this past season, but what I mean, the Lakers, there's several teams across the league here that would, of course, love to have him, the Mavericks, the Knicks. So this is definitely a situation we're going to monitor, not only tonight, but moving into free agency as well.
John, this is crazy. The Nets go from possibly putting a super team together and looking at the NBA Finals to the drama that they went into, to now Kyrie is like, I'm out, sign and trade me, get me to L.A. with Bronny. And then Durant's like, well, shit, if you're out, then we ain't got nothing here. I'm out. Brooklyn's going to go from the top of the penthouse to the back alley dumpster, I feel like, pretty quick at this rate.
Absolutely. But you can get a lot in returns for Kevin Durant. You probably can even get a lot in return for Kyrie Irving. I would be hugely more, even more disappointed if Kevin Durant decides to jump ship again.
Oh, he would.
I really would.
I got your team. I got my hot take.
Uh-oh. I'll just be honest with you. The Nets, keep your thought, Brandon, please. The Nets are if they're with them with Kyrie Irving. That's why, you know what I'm saying, he's out, potentially, right? But Kevin Durant, like, dude, this is your team. If you hop on another, whether, and like I said, keep your thought, whether it's Miami or wherever, like, dude, like, why are you running away from the challenge? You see what I'm saying? You ran away from, I couldn't play with Russ. You know what I'm saying? I went to join the Golden State Warriors, won my championship, became two-time MVP into the finals. Now, you know what I'm saying, I'm so intense to social media and to even ESPN and Fox Sports. They said, like, dude, you got to win one as the alpha. And then you get your own team, and then when your own team falls apart, now you're going to run out on them? Okay, Brandon, what's your hot take? Let me hear it.
I've got Kevin Durant's new team. It stays in the Eastern Conference, John. I believe that Kevin Durant's next team is going to be the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, my God. I'm about to fall out. Say Miami. I'm glad you didn't.
Chicago Bulls.
Go ahead. You got to explain that one.
Well, John, I think with the way that team's makeup is, you know, Zach LaVine's going to be leaving there. You've got DeMar DeRozan. You've got Lonzo Ball. You've got some pieces that can sit there with the Bulls and work around Durant to where he doesn't have to be the all-time scorer with it, the facilitator. You've got Lonzo with that. You've got DeRozan. You got to find a way to make the contracts. You got Vucevic at center, which you could probably dump him to Brooklyn, honestly, in a trade if you really wanted to. I just think the way the Bulls roster is, and the Bulls Bulls always make that splash, right, John? They're always there, pin down.
Brandon, that's not bad.
I know,
that's
right? It's looking good. Caruso maybe goes.
You'd have to trade probably, so like LaVine in the signing trade. You'd have to probably trade LaVine, Vucevic, and maybe, what's the kid they got from Illinois last year? That guard?
Odumile?
Yeah. Him.
Well, Zach LaVine's a free agent, so you could do a sign and trade with Brooklyn for that.
That's what I'm saying. Right. You could do it. And hell, they already think about tweaking. They were already thinking about tweaking the roster when mid-season, when all those Anthony Davis rumors came about.
Just put a little clip it on this. Now, I said Kevin Durant's next team is going to be the Chicago Bulls.
Oh my goodness, they'll love you there.
They will love him there. Oh my! I'm just telling you, John. I just have this feeling. Durant, Chicago. It's the first thing that came to my mind. I started putting the pieces together. That's what I'm at. So we'll see if it goes further than that. What else do I got here, John? It was reported the Pacers turned down a Lakers trade of Westbrook, Horton Tucker, and a 2026 first-round pick for Brogdon and the sixth pick. Thank God we turned it away. I think you were okay with the trade.
I was. Brandon, what was the other – there has to be another team involved in this to which they haven't – they kept them out because you're not going to just trade Malcolm Brogdon. You can't. Like, the contracts don't even match up for Horton and Westbrook. So there had to be another team that was probably going to absorb Westbrook's contract for the Pacers or something to that accord. It just wasn't enough first rounders. How about that? You know what I'm saying? The first rounder that they were going to receive from Lakers, like, what, 2026? Something like that. And who knows where that's – it's not going to be lottery or anything like that. So it was – it. The Pacers got to do something. Like, I don't – I'm not this Westbrook is done. I'm not that person. He's on the back nine. He's on the twilight of his career. That's for darn sure. I just think the pieces don't fit with him and LeBron. If you put Westbrook on another team, you know what I'm saying, he's a triple-double walker. Look out.
Uh-huh. Okay. Listen, I like it. The fact that you like my thing that KD to the Bulls, I mean, you can see it, right? I mean.
I can see it, man, because, like, the Nets, they're not budging on this, man. It's been 2 years. They spent a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? I said the Golden State Warriors are right up against the luxury tax. So are they. And if you don't win the championship, you can't justify why are we spending so much money and then we were only eighth or we only played X amount of games in the first round. We didn't get to the second round. We didn't get to the East Conference Finals. We didn't get to the championship round. You have to quantify. You have to make an answer of, like, why do I have this oversaturated, you know what I'm saying, why do I have these contracts? You know, what are we doing here? You know? So if they're not budgeting on Kyrie Irving, could you, Brandon, put your general manager hat on? I know you still got it on. Could you give that dude $55 million a year to say, man, you know what, I'm running my own practice. I'm not running what the coach wants to do. But, like, how can you win? What did Brad Stevenson say? If everybody in this room isn't going in the same direction, we can't win.
Right.
Kyrie Irving is marching. He's running his own practices. I'm not even, he didn't want to play in the bubble. That's his right. He didn't want to get the shot. That's his right. But he said this about coaching, and he said it about wanting to do his own thing. That's all, and then he takes time off when it's not about the virus or it's not about social justice. So, like, you can't trust that. You can't. I get it. He's an elite level player. He's probably top 10 in the NBA right now. Maybe, arguably, probably should have been on the top 75 team, right? Given his resume.
Right.
But you can't trust that. I can't. He wants to raise. He wants $55 million a year. You can't, dude. I couldn't give him 50. I couldn't because, like, you haven't you. You when you play, it looks like, you know what I mean, we can make an answer for that. But the fact of the matter is he only played 26 regular season games this whole year. Go back to last year. Go back to Okay, what you, and your record follows you. What happened in Boston? Why'd you break up in Cleveland? All those things kind of follow you. No matter what you might say, your actions say a little bit differently, man. So I don't know, man. It sounds like the Brooklyn Nets are getting broken up.
By the way, they're doing the intros right now for the players. Imagine if Jovic gets drafted by the Nuggets, you'd have Jokic and Jovic. No relation whatsoever.
No relation. Oh, my God.
Here we go. We got our call. I think we got our guy. All right, John, give me one second here.
Okay.
Let me think here. Da-da-da. All right, I'll let you go ahead and do the introduction. John, go ahead and rip us off.
Welcome to the show, Ken Barlow, Hall of Famer, Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer. Ken Barlow, welcome to the show again.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm not the guest you guys set up for.
Oh, what?
Sorry. Who's this?
Hold on. Hold on. What happened? We got two of them here. Go ahead. What was your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Nosh.
Nosh, what's going on, my man? Your number came through weird on my thing, so that's why.
Well, I mean, I'm one of the best to ever do it, so it is what it is.
That's right.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much. What you think? What you got? What's your thoughts on tonight's draft?
Well, I mean, do you guys have a scheduled guest that you have to get before me? If so, you know, I can wait, man.
We can do it in about five minutes. We got plenty of time. About 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at this the same way people typically do, where you say, okay, this is a four- or five-person draft. After that, I'm trading down, trading out, and trying to get readily known assets. I think somebody earlier said something about Jonathan Kuminga and some of these other guys. Like, those are the guys I would go after. I try to trade draft capital for those guys. OKC has so many picks that they have to trade some of their futures. So, hey,
you're right.
Why not make the call? So, you know, I'm looking at it from that perspective. As far as you guys as Pacers, look, man, it's a full rebuild. Give it time, guys. Like, it doesn't have to be made tomorrow. So if a deal's on the table and you're not getting Danny Ainge-type leverage from the other team or you're not squeezing them for everything, walk away from
right.
the table. Treat it like Vegas, baby. You don't have to accept anything because you have a long-term vision and you want to build around the young players that you have. And I promise you, somebody will pay a blood price for Miles Turner at the trade deadline if it comes down to it. So, yeah, hold on to every asset and squeeze them for everything, man. Nobody thought you would get the haul you did for Sabonis. But you were patient, and it happened the way it happened. So that's how I'm looking at it. Now, having Rick Carlisle as the steward of the ship, now that's a whole other conversation. But, yeah, things are looking up in Indiana, man. That's a move to be made. But how do you guys feel? Are you looking at Paulo as the one, I guess you could say, guy with the safer floor? Or are you guys more intrigued by the, I don't know, more risky prospect?
When I think about Jabari Smith, I just think, you know what I'm saying, we're looking at maybe a more higher-end Rashard Lewis, if anybody remembers him. And the capabilities that he had with the basketball, you know what I'm saying, somebody who could, you know, space the floor. Rashard Lewis in this era NBA is probably NBA all NBA, at least on the second squad, right? But I think that's what he, you know what I'm saying, he's not going to be as dominant around the rim on this level as I think Banchero can be. But Banchero showed that he can be, you know what I'm saying, a good rebounder. And definitely a shot maker, polished shot maker, I would say. And I think, those would be like 1A, 1B. But, again, if you twist my arm and I got the number one overall pick, and I'm Orlando with what I already have in guards, and I'm already guard heavy, then I would go with the stronger four guy who I think who's going to be a solid four, maybe in this NBA, a five guy sometimes, where I think Jabari is going to be definitely on the wing, playing more wing than anything else.
Okay, and I got a shocker for you guys. I've already bet this, so I'm giving you a chance to catch up and take a shot with me, man. You might as well pick up some, you know, free money. It's always out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think the shocker I think the shocker of the night is Chet is drafted way lower than what we all expect him to be drafted at. Because sounds good to say, hey, this could be the next evolution of basketball. This kid could be, you know, this, that, and the third. It's a whole other thing to tie your name to that kid to where,
right.
Remember, no matter what happens this season, the cameras are going to be on him, and the narrative of he's too weak, he can't play in this league, that's already baked into the cake to where you're going to have to try to really justify the pick as the season moves along because, like, he's going to get really unfair coverage anytime, like, he's boxed out in a way that looks like he can't physically compete or if he can't stay on the floor defensively. Like, all of that stuff is going to be, like, ratcheted up to a degree to where I think there's some GMs who are scared to put a name on it, and they hope the guy ahead of him drafts him. So they don't have to be the guy that drafts Chet and ties their career to him. And I'm saying this with expectation that I think Chet can be really, really, really good. Only problem is he can also be out of the league. So I predict him to really fall in this draft, and I put my money on it. I would suggest you guys take the same shot. And if I'm wrong, you could just blame me, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. I do like that. I might have to real quick blow up my my DraftKings here and put a little bit on there. No, I agree with you. I think both of you. I like Panchero. I think he's got the better ceiling. And you're not going to be scared. You know, these GMs right now, I mean, as quick as they're going in and out of the league, you don't really want to screw up. And I know we talked to Pacers ad nauseum. I mean, this might be the last call for Kevin Pritchard before the swan song comes. You know, you can't screw up another draft. And I know we did all right last year with Duarte. And yeah, you don't want to put yourself in that position like I do sometimes in fantasy football drafts where, damn, that player didn't get picked and now he's falling to me. What the hell am I going to do? And then week two, he gets hurt, you know? So I kind of see it like that. So absolutely love it.
Yeah, man. So yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to hang back and listen to you guys. I know you got your guests coming up, but how about those Hawks, man? Don't y'all want a nice young John Collins, man? How about y'all ship some of them assets down to Atlanta, man? Don't y'all want John Collins running the field?
Hey, we gave you a coach.
Yeah, you know.
We did. We
no
gave
more,
him a coach.
We
gave you Nate McMillan.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll see what we can
we
do.
Don't
count out Kevin Pritchard to do something to send down there to Atlanta. So we'll see. But, hey, go Hawks, my man. And thank you for listening. We appreciate it. All right, great
man,
call there.
We got to get that dude. That dude ain't calling a long time, man. I like topping it up with him, man.
I know, man.
Everybody
he calls in every once in a while. I love it. All right, now we've got our guy. friend of the program, John. Friend of the program. He was back almost in 2019. I can't believe it's been that long ago. This is before, prior to COVID. I think he was just starting to write the book. Indiana Basketball Hall of Famer. Got a great book coming out called First Round Pick, The Path Least Chosen. I just bought it 20 minutes ago on Amazon, so it should be here by Saturday for me to read it. Indianapolis man, Ken Barlow. Ken, what's going on?
Hey, man, listen, it doesn't seem like it's been since 2019, but I'm happy to be back. Thanks for the invite, Jonathan and all you guys. It's good to be on the show, yeah.
Well, Ken, I didn't know we was going to get you on, man, because I seen you on Wish TV here locally. I seen you on Fox 59. I said, man, I don't know, Brandon, if he might have went a little Indiana Hollywood on us, man. I see we can humbly get Ken Barlow, but like, nah, man. Ken Barlow's one of the great ambassadors of basketball on any level, and it's always a pleasure to kind of chop it up with him. He shared, I mean, you know, I don't want to steal too much of his thunder. He shared much of his story with us already back in 2019, but now with the book being out, everything's kind of come full circle into fruition, man. So congratulations on that for sure. And again, from me to you, obviously, thank you for coming on. So Ken, I know Brandon got a couple questions for you, but I got to ask you, man. So like, what has some of the reception been like for you? You know what I'm saying? You know, going in and publishing your book and kind of telling your story and getting, you know, like I said, telling your story about telling the NBA, you know what, I got options. What has been some of the reception?
Yeah. So some of the people who have read the book actually, you know, have given me like great feedback. You know, because even beyond the NBA, you know, life is about making tough choices, and you know, as I say in the book, the victory resides in your preparation. So, you know, I was just trying to encourage my readers to be prepared, even as athletes. You know, if you're prepared and you give your best all the time, and whatever happens after that, you know, it's really, for me, from my perspective, it's in God's hands. So I knew that I could do nothing but succeed, even when the NBA offer came and it wasn't really adequate enough, not just from a dollars and cents perspective, but also from an opportunity to compete for a job. I didn't really think I was going to be given an opportunity to compete. And so, you know, as an athlete, if you can't compete, then you won't be employed very long. So I took my talents like LeBron James elsewhere.
Okay. What were some of the highs and lows of putting the book together? So, like, did you encounter any, like, hurdles, or was it all peaches and cream? You know what I mean? I know everything's ultimately your thoughts on the page, but, like, what were some of the things? I know a lot of book people. I know a lot of folks who want to put a book together or whatnot for themselves. So again, what was kind of the process for you when you put all this together?
Well, yeah, you know, so it's a little intimidating, to be quite honest. I think probably most of us get caught up in the intimidation of actually writing it and trying to get it published. So I decided to go the self-publishing route. It's the reason why my book is on Amazon. So I self-published through KDP Publishing through Amazon. And I think it was just the uncertainty of knowing, like, how all of it works. So I've been trying to educate myself. I think the biggest piece that I have to do, and the biggest challenging piece, is really, I thank you guys for this opportunity, is really just, you know, I do my own promotions. So I created a web page, kennethburlow.com, that you can find out about the book. Then I've been going around and I've been hosting some book signings. I'm trying to get into some author fairs right now. So it's really a matter of just kind of getting the book out. So that was the biggest challenge. Writing it was not really that challenging, but really trying to, like, since I'm self-published, trying to get it out and get it marketed right. So really this opportunity today is just fantastic for me. So you guys got listeners, and hopefully we can encourage some people to go to Amazon and buy the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I just went on, like I told John, I went on 20 minutes ago. I went on and bought it myself. It'll be here Saturday. Can't wait to read it. Looking forward to it. I like the logo of the book cover. I really do like that, with the two different streets. The top of it with the first pick, it kind of gives me the old school, like, NBA playoffs logo vibe type of thing. Just a little bit of the feel there. No copyright infringement, but it just gives me that feel that I'm looking forward to reading it. And, you know, great reviews on there, 5-star reviews on there. So check it out, Amazon. Like we said, the first round pick, The Path Least Chosen. Check it out there. With this book, as John was kind of asking those questions in there, you know, did it take as long as you expected it to for it to come out? Because it came out, publication was what, January 27th, I think it shows here. Did it go as long as you thought, or did you have a lot more free time once COVID kind of hit, after we last had you on, where you could sit down and kind of sketch this out and get it step by step?
Yeah, so it was really just a process. COVID, I don't think COVID had very much impact. You know, once I kind of got in, I kind of knew the story. I didn't want to intimidate the reader by writing a 300-400-page book. I wanted the people to really be able to get in and read it. So it really COVID really had no impact on it. I did have time to write it, and we released it right when I wanted to. I was trying to get it just right before Christmas, but it came out just after the new year. And it's been working well for us. It was just a process. Really, I think we all have a book within us to tell your story. So, and we all probably have I think you guys even have a great story to share with others to inspire people and to help people. And that's really what my book is about. It's a basketball story, but it's really not just a memoir about me. It's really about trying to help not only athletes, but even non-athletes to succeed and be successful in life.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Once you got everything turned in that you wanted to be in the book, was it, like, afterward, like, and I know there's a deadline, was there something else that you wanted to add in there that you forgot?
Not me personally. Some people, I'll tell you some of the feedback, some people wanted me to, you know, everybody gets something out of a book. You know, we can all read the same book, and we can all get our own opinions, our own feelings out of it. So some people were wanting me to go more in depth about the challenges of dealing with professional organizations like the NBA or MLB. They wanted to get more into it. So at the end of the book, I give a coda, which an outro, just sharing with the reader, you know, at the end of the day, with the alongside a lot of other great players and some great legal minds in the NBA, we decided mm-hmm. to sue the NBA over the draft, free agency, and also the salary cap. And ultimately, over a couple more legal battles, we actually made progress, which even tonight is a result of what we did back in like 1988, 89, and that the draft was limited down from 7 rounds to 2. So I kind of got into some of that, some of the details of, you know, what it really means to be a professional athlete, what it really means to be a free agent. I'm just a proponent. I'm actually absolutely against the draft. I mean, I get all the excitement and all that stuff around it, but it really doesn't make sense as an employee. I mean, could [S2] Right. [S1] You imagine you guys trying to have a career and someone telling you have to go to this place? You might end up in a place that doesn't necessarily need your service, and then at the end of the day, you have no rights to say, well, I don't want what you're offering me. I'd like to go somewhere else. And they say, well, you can't do that. That's just not how the rules are set up.
Right. I'm totally with you on that. They edited it like the years now. I think at one point in the 90s, in late 80s, I know teams, you have to sign 7 years with a team. You know what I mean? Now it's like 3 years, and you do your tour duty for lack of a better
right.
term. You do your tour duty,
right.
and then you can kind of go where you want to go, or whatnot.
Right.
Think about when you were in college versus like
yep.
you know and having potentials. You know what I'm saying, to go to whatever league, whether it's across season in Europe or Italy or whatever have you, or even the NBA. What do you think about the options now that that youth have now versus like you know what I'm saying? We've advanced, but not
yeah.
necessarily where we've advanced a little bit. Well, I'll say a little bit more than a little bit. We've advanced, but like, what do you think about with NIL things like that, and then various leagues now? Everybody it's not like this don't go, you can't go over there now. You know what I'm saying? We know guys, whether it was yourself, Jimmy Fredette, recently, Stephon Marbury,
yeah.
they went over there and become kings,
right.
playing basketball. So what do you think about, the era that we are in right now versus like how you kind of came up?
Yeah, I'm very happy of the progress. It still seems a little slow to me, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the options. Some guys have the options. Like, I can't think of the young man who went second in draft last year. That guys are coming out of the G League, not even going. I'm not a proponent. I'm a proponent of actually going to college. But, guys
right.
are at their careers and saying, hey, maybe I don't need to go to college. If I'm only going to be there for 1 year, I might as well take that year, make money in the G League, and somebody's going to give me $500,000 to $1 million and
right.
improve my draft. I think the options are much better now. A lot of it is still dictated by the NBA, so it's still their market. I would like to see it's hard because they're trying to keep other people out of the market too. So, if there was a real live competitor out there, it would really change the topography of what's going on. But it's made great progress since my days. I mean, that's a long time ago now. It's like 35 years ago, 34 years ago. So there's been great progress. And guys do have more options, and they actually have to take the time to understand what their options are and utilize that to their benefit. I mean, because if you go to college for 1 year, I mean, you're a long way from graduation anyway. So
right, true.
If you're that talented, you might want to consider maybe overseas, like even what's the guy Brandon Jennings from the Pistons did some years ago. He didn't qualify for college, and he went straight to Rome, and then he came back, and he was a high draft pick, and had a pretty successful career. I mean, he wasn't an all-star or anything, but he had a pretty good career. Should have made a nice living for himself.
Right.
Yeah,
he didn't play free. I know that.
Right. No. Yeah. So guys, I mean, guys have families have more pressure, I think, today at a younger age. You know, when I came out, you know, I was a 21-year-old senior with a college degree. Now guys are starting to think at 17, 18 years old, do I go to college? Do I go to the G League? Do I go overseas? I mean, like LaMelo Ball's little brother.
Right.
You know, he went overseas, made money, came back, and now he's a great player. So, you know,
right.
he skipped the whole college option. So it's you have to figure out what's best for yourself. You have to be able to be prepared to look at your options and get wise counsel to know exactly, you know, what you should and shouldn't do. I mean, it's not an easy choice, but no, I think we've progressed, to answer your question. That the progress is a lot better today in 2022 than it was in 1986, for sure.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey, that's all. That's what I like about Barlow. I know a lot of folks get on your Facebook page and debate about what guys, this guy, but man, Kenneth Barlow is always positive. I will totally stamp that. So he's always positive. I gotta ask you, man, because I got two more questions, but I gotta ask you about your health and fitness journey before I ask you about another basketball question. I find myself sometimes on your debates, right? Too, and I don't necessarily always inbox you like, hey, man, what's going on? Or, like, what's going on with you? But I do. I mean, if you could share, like, was this you just wanted to get back into shape, or was it something like dictated that you had to, you know what I'm saying? So can you share a little bit about, to do during COVID? I feel like I had more energy. Like, I guess maybe it was my paranoia, choosing one to stay in good health, right? But like since then, man, I've kind of packed on a couple pounds. So if you got any health tips, you know what I'm saying, whether it's good eating habits or whatnot, you know what I'm saying, please share.
Yeah, so I'll tell you my story really quick. So I had ballooned up to 330 pounds, and then my check engine light came on, and I ended up in the hospital,
gotcha.
Right? So
I got
to the hospital.
Okay.
It really was about obesity, being overweight, not taking care of going to get my checkup, changing my oil, you know, keeping my engine running, getting my tune up. So I got to the point where I said, okay, God, this is a checkup call. I know what to do. I've done it all my life. So, and it doesn't really start with the exercise. It starts with what kind of fuel you're putting in your body. So I just decided to put in fuel that's living. So living fuel is plants, right? That's
what
lives. And the basic philosophy is, I believe through my faith, is that since I was created from the earth, and the earth I will return, then the earth is where my power is coming from in terms of my physical power. So all the plants I eat help me heal myself. And so 2.5 years ago, I was taking a boatload of medicine, and I actually cleared it up in about 4 months. And so now I'm back down to my professional plan weight. I'm 240 pounds. My blood pressure is 107 over 72. My blood sugar levels are my A1C is at 5.4. My blood sugar every day is about 95. My cholesterol levels are unbelievable. So it's really I do exercise. I exercise probably every other day now, where I wasn't doing anything. And I got all my vitals and stuff down where I don't take any medicine, because I'm sure I realized something real simple. If I break my fingernail off, it'll grow back. If I cut my arm, it'll heal itself. So I knew that my body had healing powers, and I knew that the trick to it is putting the right stuff in my body to make sure they heal itself.
Man,
okay.
I love it. Ken, there's like 15 quotes there you can put on T-shirts. I love it.
So that's kind of where I am, and, you know. And I've been telling people, like, you know, the hard thing. I'm glad. Hopefully, you're listening. So, you know, some real simple things. You need hydration. So you need things like good water, a good quality water. And you need to. And I drink between 80 and 100 ounces a day of water, just to keep my system running right. And I eat things. I eat minerals and vitamins that come from plants that kind of help my body. And quick story. And I'm not trying to shame my doctor by any means, but when my check engine light came on and I was trying to figure out where to go, they said, do you have a doctor to help you? And I said, no. And they just tried to like assign me a guy. I said, well, listen, I don't want the guy on the bench. I need LeBron James. Right. So,
right. So anyway, it's important. So if you have a doctor, make sure you have the right doctor too. So now my doctor just tells me to come in once a year for checkups now because I got myself back together.
I need to get in the doctor. I went to the doctor in 10 years. I need to go.
You need to go. Yeah, go. I mean, because you need to find out where you are. I was obesely overweight. I was 330. People told me I looked good being overweight, but ultimately, it was bad for my health, and all my numbers were like in the wrong places. And you know, we're able to correct that with really good eating. And I'm going to say it's about 90-10. Eat the right stuff 90% of the time, and exercise the other 10%, and you'll be fine.
Okay, awesome.
I'm on it. Thank you for the advice. Ken Barlow, it has been a pleasure having you on again, man. I promise you, it won't be that much time in between next time we have on. You won't have to. Especially, you won't have to write another book. You won't have to write another book to come on to the show.
Hey, listen, we can encourage people. Listen, you can go to KennethBarlow.com and check out the book, First Round Pick, The Path Least Chosen. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm looking forward to actually hosting maybe we'll do Zooms or try to get as many people in once I figure out people have read the book and just kind of have some conversations around it.
Okay,
to be helpful. So hopefully you guys will grab it and we can include you. Maybe share that with the people.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Ken, thank you for joining us again. Great job. And I can't wait to get the book this Saturday. And I'll let you know when I finish it. It shouldn't take me too long. I got to get back into reading.
No.
I'll let you know.
Listen, I'm going to put the pressure on. You should be able to read that book in about 4 hours.
Oh, my God. I can read a magazine in 4 hours.
Man, we went to Ball State. We didn't go to Notre Dame.
Exactly.
We can't read that fast.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to let you say that. Listen, hey, I appreciate you guys. I know you got other people to talk to. Thank you for this opportunity to get on. First Round Pick, The Path Least Chosen. You can get it on my website or you can find it on Amazon. I look forward to just talking to people about it. So, hey, listen, props to Golden State Warriors, too, and Steph Curry. Great player.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, the great Ken Barlow. Pick up his book today. We'll post it on the Facebook page as well for you to get. Mine comes in Saturday. I'll post it on there as well. Looking forward to it. Thank you. Great interview. John, the draft has started. We've got the first three picks in with a third pick going right now from the commish. But number one, Paolo Banchero goes number one. Chet Holmgren, number two to the Thunder. And Jabari Smith just went now to the Houston Rockets. People thought Jabari was going to go number one. Orlando flipped it today. The odds all flipped. He's going number three to Houston.
Yep. I think I probably had Jabari Smith number two. But, you know, our the Oklahoma City Thunder is a team that probably thinks they can, you know, develop players a little bit better than anybody else. So they think, I mean, Brandon, they've called Chet Holmgren the new white chocolate, okay? And we all know who the original white chocolate was, Bobby Sura or Jason Williams, one or the other, right? But they think he has the skill set of a Kevin Durant. If that's the case, in 2-3 seasons, and he becomes like Kevin Durant, like dude, they're going to seem like geniuses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He does have a nice jump shot. Can he rebound worth a lick? I don't know. Can he defend worth a lick? I don't know. But his offensive, like when the games I saw him playing at Gonzaga, and anybody can listen to me right now, can crap on like they only play St. Mary's, they only play whatever. You know what I'm saying? He still pull up great numbers. Didn't necessarily show because they didn't have a great run in the tournament. But like, dude, you can't teach 6'7", 6'11" with a 3-point jump shot in the mid range game like he has. Uh-oh. What we got?
Breaking news. The pick is in. The fourth pick. And I'm a little ahead than most people. So with the fourth pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Sacramento Kings, who are keeping their pick, select Keegan Murray at number four.
Wow. I'm about to fall out of this seat. I'm shocked. Brandon, it has to be a trade coming.
Keegan Murray, number four.
Brandon Reeves, if you had told me after the Big Ten tournament that Keegan Murray would be the number four pick, I would say you're crazy. You
I would
know what
fell
saying?
Off my rocker.
Yeah.
No plans
like
to trade and plan to keep Murray.
Wow.
Is what Woj just said.
Okay, Mike Brown. Okay, Mike Brown. You on the clock.
So now,
let's
look at the Pacers.
You
got Jaden Ivey or Ben Mathurin. That's your pick.
Jaden Ivey won't make it past five.
He's going to go probably Detroit, you think?
Yeah, Jaden Ivey won't make it past five. So they're going to – Brandon's going to be your pick. It's going to be Mathurin, I do believe.
Wow.
We'll get the kid from Arizona.
My heart. Mike Brown just says, you know what? Hold this cup of tea. We're coming out and getting Keegan Murray at number four. My
That's a head scratcher, man. I'm not saying Keegan Murray. If you listen, from what I've seen out of Keegan Murray, again, he's a mature athlete, mature basketball player already. You know what I'm saying? 24, 25 years old already. He'll be ready to go. You know what I'm saying? There shouldn't be any type of everybody's got to adjust to the rigors of the NBA. There's more. You're playing like basically three times more as many games that you were playing in college, correct? But like at pick four, that's a stretch, and that's not again. That like I kind of see Keegan Murray in the 6, 7, 8 role, and as far as this draft is concerned. So you telling me they was really impressed with his Big Ten tournament play? Had to be.
Yeah, unbelievable. Pacers were also pretty high on Murray. There's reports that the Jaden Ivey could fall to the Pacers at six. The Pistons weren't very sold on him, apparently, is the report coming out. So I don't know. Do they go with who's a better athlete? They go to the pure athlete Ben Mathurin there?
Brandon,
or
he never did. I listened to him say, unless it's a lie, he said he didn't work out for the Pacers.
Well, he did. He worked out for the Pacers, but it was at the draft combine. He interviewed with the Pacers at the draft combine privately. So it wasn't anything in Indianapolis. But maybe that's the way you throw him off. But why would you throw him off when the guy's projected to go two spots ahead, you know?
Right.
So, because you're not charity
money.
Exactly. So, Adam Silver is announcing it now. Keegan Murray, this place is going to go nuts.
Keegan Murray from the University of Iowa.
Oh, a lot of oh my God's going on in that green room right now. Ha! We'll see what happens. John, I don't know about you. I'm getting nervous. What the hell are we going to do right here? It's going to be Mathurin or Ivy. I'm okay with either. Just don't make it Dyson Daniels.
Oh, God, no. I tell you what, if Jaden Ivey's there at six, and I know I've been saying so, that's going to be a lot of guys on my timeline saying, though, you said he was going to be number six. So, but I don't think he's going to be there at six. I think the pick is in. I could be wrong.
It is in. It is in. With the fifth pick in the NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons stab the Pacers one more time. They take Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey to the Pistons at number five. Man, the Pistons always end up pissing the Pacers off, right? They ended Reggie's career. They caused the brawl to the fight. They ended the best season for the Pacers. They keep Ivey away from the Pacers. What else can this Pistons team do to the Pacers? But it looks like Jaden Ivey drafted by the Detroit Pistons, which now it leaves you, Indiana Pacers, you're up. Do you go Ben Mathurin? Do you trade the pick? What do you do? John, it's it now. Will be Mathurin. I have Mathurin going at six to us, so I hope it is.
It's probably going to be Mathurin. Don't lose your mind if it's A.J. Griffin, but it's probably going to be Mathurin.
Just don't be Jaden Daniels, all right? Or Dyson Daniels.
If it is Dyson Daniels, Miles Turner's is safe.
Ooh. Yeah, you said that earlier. You did say that earlier. So we'll see this. Whoever's going to come in here, with them in the backcourt with Halliburton, I like it in the backcourt, and I think they could definitely build. Now, is whoever we have coming in here, are they going to be a number one difference maker and we're going to turn it around? No, because it's a rebuild. It's going to take some time, but I think it can get done.
What do you think of Fred Jones, but pre-injury? Remember him?
Yeah, he's 305 pounds now. I saw him downtown a couple weeks ago.
But pre-injury, when he was winning dunk contest, man, he was like, man, a couple more seasons, he could position to get in the starting rotation, man. I think this kid's athleticism is on par with Fred Jones pre-injury. Mathurin has already been through a whole lot. He lost his father when he was a teenager. I believe he was like 15 or 13, 14 or 15 years old. He is from Canada. Not saying that that's a bad thing or anything like that, but he's been on a different path to get to the NBA. So they've kind of talked about him here locally, as they do a lot of scouting here on the radio shows and different avenues. I mean, different podcasts that I kind of listen to other than ours. You know what I'm saying? So if he is the pick, he will definitely improve the athleticism at the guard position. And on the whole team. Matter of fact, I think he's probably as athletic as Miles. And Miles is 6'11". This dude is 6'4". So, won't be a bad pick. This won't necessarily be boom. You know what I'm saying? The first day he'll be out there. You know what I'm saying? Dominating just yet. But he does have a pretty good ceiling that I think fans are like.
Yeah, I think so. I think Fred just liked going out to that strip club on 38th Street too much. Out there and spending all the money and eating the buffets out there. That's what the problem was.
Back
so we'll
is.
See. The Pistons are getting ready to announce it here on TV here shortly. There's Jay Nivey on the phone. Damn. I mean, that's okay because, it's tough. Like somebody said earlier, it's tough to live up playing in your hometown, right? It doesn't always pan out for everybody unless you're the superstar. But we'll see what Jaden does. Happy for him going to Detroit. There's Matt Painter on the TV as well. He's ecstatic. It's been a rough week for the Boilermakers, obviously, with the death of Caleb Swanigan, which is at 25, is just baffling. It's crazy that happening with Biggie and kind of the downfall with him and how his career kind of went with the NBA. Because he was a first-round pick, I think 28th to Portland, I believe. Just a few years ago. So,
yeah, I haven't, I mean, just because I respect their privacy, you know what I'm saying? The Purdue family that we do know, I haven't necessarily asked, but I send my condolences out to Coach Brantley and the staff, from myself and Crossroads Sports, right? I haven't necessarily asked, I mean, it ain't for me to ask why and how, you know what I'm saying? I do know they loved him up there at Purdue. They were actually, if you remember, they didn't really want him to leave. You know what I'm saying? They wanted him to play with the
right.
– oh, my God, I can't even remember. Shame on me, I can't remember who was coming in. But it would have been – it probably would even gave them another bite at the apple. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But, they're not that selfish in the understanding that, you know what I'm saying, the powers be are saying this kid is going to be a first-round draft pick. Biggie Swanigan put a lot of time and effort into getting his body right and his mind tight and while he was in West Lafayette. I think, you know what I'm saying, I don't like to speculate, again, like the housing-wise, you know what I'm saying, a young 25-year-old man is no longer with us, who had such a promising career at one point. When some guys don't have basketball, Brandon, like, you know, or they don't have something that they passionately have put a lot of, into, because, you know what I'm saying, he's been out of the game, but I do believe at least three seasons since that time in Portland. They tend to just kind of drift, things drift into depression, drift into I'm not saying these are the things that happen with him, but they drift into, just the wrong way, it's definitely sad, it's definitely unfortunate that that kid is no longer with us.
Yep, absolutely. So, Ivy just got announced at number 5, and here we go. It's with the 6th pick in the 2022 NBA draft, It's official. The Indiana Pacers select Ben Mathurin, Arizona. I love it, John. Mathurin's here. You go best available. You don't do position need. You go best available. They go get Mathurin. I like it. That's who I had in my mock. I've liked him for a bit. The last couple of weeks, I watched his interviews. I went back. I watched some of his play. I just think you had to go best available. You don't take a chance. I think I heard somebody say, you got this draft pick. If Jaden Ivey is like a brand new Honda Civic, well, Ben Mathurin's like a Jaguar. All right. So you go in, you get the Jag, and I do like this backcourt with Mathurin, Halliburton, and then who else we could get in possible trades or not. John, your thoughts, Pacers getting Mathurin.
I don't know if Buddy Hield or Malcolm Brown's going to be here now, though. With you saying that, it's going to be a real crowded shooting guard backcourt. Buddy Hield, maybe. Just maybe, you know what I'm saying, they might have a service disrupt right up to the trade deadline. Malcolm Brogdon's gone. There's another guard out here to play that, again, you know what I'm saying, though this is now.
Yeah, he plays more of a small forward, like.
Yeah, but you still got, like I said, you still got to have guys in there. Yeah, you right. TJ Warren definitely gone. But you still got to get guys in there that can get you some boards and maybe potentially do some dirty work. But no, man, solid pick, man. Again, can't fault it. And we shall see what athletic talents Mr. Mathurin will bring to the Pacers going further.
Yeah, absolutely. Old Benedict. Get those Benedict shirts ready. Benedict, I hope Kot's okay. Listen, he said he'd be okay with him in there. So another Pac-12 player coming to the Pacers with Mathurin. 6'6 wing, John, in there. So he can play that small forward. He's got long arms. So he kind of plays that position where, like it was last time we had a stretch besides TJ Warren, a good one. What, Danny Granger? I mean, Paul George, but not Paul George, Danny Granger is probably the last ones we've had.
Yeah.
So I love it. The crowd, there's a picture of the crowd watching it. Carmel, I'm looking for Decott there. I don't see him unless he's on, unless he's up there on the Sun King roof balcony. I can't really tell. But Pacers, Ben Mathurin, John. Do you think we're done? And by the way, the trade or the pick for the Pacers, it came quick after they announced it on TV. Like they didn't waste no time. So, do you think the Pacers are done tonight, or do we got more coming?
It just depends what they want to do with some of those latter round picks. And potentially, I think Miles Turner is relatively safe. But, again, we know Malcolm Brogdon, who has shown to be an elite-level guard play, actually was rookie of the year his rookie season, right? Could somebody use him as first?
Oh, wow.
Kind of monitor his health through a season? Absolutely. So I think there could be some trades going on tonight for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you just said that because we got a report. Sources are saying that the New York Knicks are still in pursuit of acquiring Jaden Ivey from Detroit, even after Detroit selected him. So the Knicks are trying to put a trade together to get him.
They whatever they're offering, maybe the Kings didn't want. And that's not to give the Kings front office any type of credit. You know what I'm saying? They but whatever the Knicks are offering, you know what I'm saying, teams may not necessarily want. If the Knicks want Jaden Ivey, man, like they seem like they're desperate. So I would, you know what I'm saying, we're desperate. You'd be like, yo, what are you sending me, New York?
Right. And I don't know what, I mean. Oof, I don't even know what the hell's on that roster. They don't want anything to do with Kemba, right? So,
right. No. No. They got to pick. The Knicks are picking pick 10. So that's something that they could probably potentially dangle. But, again, if I'm Detroit and I already know there's some kind of question marks around Killian Hayes' playmaking ability at point guard, we do know that we have Cade Cunningham already as the primary offensive weapon and ball handler at the three spot, bringing another two guy.
like Jaden Ivey, who knows how to play in a team atmosphere and can play with other elite level basketball players. I'm keeping Jaden Ivey.
Yeah.
Nope. Not even thinking about it.
6'6", 205 for Mathurin. Explosive athlete, John. Exclusive scorer. Comparison wise, I'm sitting here looking at the highlight type right now. Versatile scorer. The dude can shoot it from deep. He can jump out of the moon. I mean, he can leap from Avon and Landon Lawrence. I think.
That's why I said Fred Jones, man. If anybody remembers him, yeah. Real athlete like Fred Jones.
I like comparisons. They're comparing him to OG Anunoby. You think that's a fair comparison?
I think OG is a little bit bigger, a little bit more dependable. They kind of might got the same kind of body type. I don't think they necessarily played the same way. OG had developed a 3-point shot. So once he got to the NBA, he didn't necessarily have that at IU. But like, no, I couldn't say OG.
Okay. Watch party going on. For Ben Mathurin there, just took the hat. There was cheers for it when he took the they announced it. So I'm excited with the Halliburton Mathurin backcourt. It's going to be good. Might not be good enough right now to get to the NBA finals or the Eastern Conference finals or something. But what we're looking for, John, is a step, right? We're looking for steps in the right direction to right this program.
Correct.
I like what Pritchard's done. But you'll say this, Deacon will say this, I'll say this, Reggie will say this, the job ain't done yet. We still got a lot of work to do, right? A lot of work to do.
Right. Well, think about it. As much criticism we've given him, has he ever really made a bad trade? I don't think the answer is has he made a good lottery, has he made a good pick? That would be, you know, something to be critical of. But has he ever made really a bad trade? I'd say that the answer would be no.
Yeah, I don't think so as well. John, we're looking next for the Pacers, if barring any trades they make. I mean, they could make a trade with Charlotte or whatever, with Miles or whatnot in the future, and then whatever the pick is. But looking ahead for the Pacers, the 31st pick, and they also have pick 60. So 31 and 60 coming up. At 31, where are you looking? Because the things I've seen is a lot of people are saying Neymar from Golden State is who the Pacers are, who they like at that mock position at 31. Neymar from Gonzaga.
If you can get some value, like if you know that guy that you're bringing in can make your roster, and you won't have to put him on a G League assignment. Or put him, you know, stash him somewhere else and kind of stash him at the end of the bench and hope that he turns out to be something. Yeah, I say kind of go for it. Or, as some of our other callers I have alluded to, make a deal with some of these other elite talents, you know what I'm saying, on these other teams that we know are on affordable contracts. But our teams, whether it be Atlanta, Golden State, I'm not going to necessarily say the players, but you know the teams got a shared contract because they're kind of up against it. You know, you make a deal with one of those teams. So Brandon, you just said in the segment before the job ain't over. The job is not finished. So there could be. I think they could potentially package up these picks, package up Malcolm Brogdon's contract, and then you know saying get a player. It's not going to be a superstar. Or anything like that, but if we're going with a youth movement here, let's just go full youth movement.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you're gonna go full rebuild, let's go full rebuild. I'm in. But like you said, and I've said this in the past, I don't want no half-ass rebuild here. If we're gonna do it, let's do it. Not this. Well, we're gonna be halfway in. Either we in or we out, and we'll go from there and see. NBA draft carrying on, John. Our show's wrapping up here. We got 15 minutes to go. Maybe the Pacers will trade Brogdon and get the 11th pick. We'll see. My thoughts are if we do get anything that's breaking, that's just crazy, John, maybe we go live on Facebook Live or Instagram to kind of go instant reaction with the Pacers. Or as the pick goes at 31, we can do a quick Facebook Live when it comes out just to give a quick analysis on our 31st pick thoughts. So a couple different options for you.
Yeah, I'm with it, man. Whatever you want to do. I'm open. I'm open all night.
Shaedon Sharpe, the 7th pick going to Portland. Shaedon Sharpe, one who I was a little nervous about Indiana getting because you weren't sure if he's really going to stay. I do like it for Portland because of them getting Jeremy Grant. You got Dame. You got another guy exclusive, Shaedon Sharpe, out there. I do like the pick for Portland.
Yeah, if he needs maturity, he'll find his maturity real fast playing with that group because again, ain't no shot callers other than Dame Dollar, you know, Damian Lillard in Portland. Who expressed his concerns about not wanting to go anywhere, not wanting to team jump. I know pressures can happen and things can happen, but Damian Lillard has said he wanted to finish career in his career with Portland. So with that being the case, with Sharpe going to Portland, he'll get some burn for sure. And like I said, hopefully being in that locker room and being around that facility, he'll get some maturity. And if not, then he'll be out the league. Because again, you know, I know Portland. They haven't necessarily won championships in like the last 30 years. I think the last time they won a championship was like 1977, actually. But again, it's still one of the classier organizations. And you really don't hear too much anything bad to come out of Portland as far as like as far as like players clashing with ownership or whatever. Again, they are committed to winning. If you consistently win there as a coach, they will grant you a little bit of favor to keep your job. But again, if they do have a level of expectation to make to the playoffs, and if not, even deep into the playoffs, and if you don't do that, they'll show you the door, i.e. Terry Stotts. You know what I'm saying? And as well as a host of others, you know what I'm saying, that kind of came before him, winning basketball numbers behind him. So, but again, like I said, you know, that's probably a good place for that particular, like I said, for Sharpe to go. He won't be asked to do a whole hell of a lot day one. You know, saying he won't have to be a franchise saver. That franchise saver is already there. Now, if, and I'm saying it's a big if, because, again, I don't think he gets moved because he said he didn't want to be moved. If Damian Lillard chooses to actually be traded or some kind of mega trade or something like that, then all bets are off. Then that kid will be cascaded into the forefront and he'll have to play a different role. But as of right now, dude, he's lucky to get – how can we forget Anthony Simmons as well? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The silky smooth point guard that they have right now. Again, like, Sharpe's got time to develop. And, again, Portland's probably a good spot for him to do that and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like the next pick, looks like the Pelicans are going to be going with Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels, a G leaguer, going to the Pelicans at number 8.
Okay. I probably would have went. They might have – Brandon, do they have their fill of Duke guys? They didn't want to draft Duke guys? They should. I thought they would have took A.J. Griffin. They're pretty solid at small forward, though. So I can see with them not going to go get A.J. Griffin. Dyson Daniels, definitely probably the best two-way player in this draft. Plays, but he still his office can sometimes be a little laborious. How about this? He's probably the best incarnation, closest thing to. I'm not saying he plays defense like this. He's not going to take that many charges, but he's probably the best incarnation of Marcus Smart that they have in this draft. So. I think it's a solid pickup for a team that wants to, you know what I'm saying, not just be playing in the play-in tournament. They want to make a playoff run. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good pickup for them.
Yep, absolutely. So we're 8 picks in. Malcolm Brogdon's still in the Indiana Pacers. I feel like we're going to do an everyday thing. It's day one after the draft. Malcolm Brogdon's still an Indiana Pacer. So we'll see. 8 picks are in. We still got some big names on the list here. A lot of good guys. I think I forgot. Oh, Obagi from Kansas is in this draft still too. I totally forgot he was there. A lot of picks.
Yep.
We'll see what the Pacers do at number 31. They could trade it. Try to get some players. Try to get some other draft picks. I think you can – I don't think they're done. Gun to head, you can call me an idiot here after the podcast comes out. But uh-oh. I think we get a late lottery pick. I think we make the trade with Brogdon. Unless Pritchard likes to wait and see kind of where you want to – if you – like you said, like you know, Nas called us. You know, some people are going to start panicking, you know, as it gets closer to time. And, you know, wait till you get your best hand. You know, don't take the first one that's always given to you. So,
right. There's still,
I wouldn't mind getting still... Sochan from Baylor. I wouldn't mind getting him either.
Yeah, he's not. But there's going to be some names that probably pop up, familiar there. They probably pop up with the next 3-4 picks. Ty Washington is still out there. Abaji is still out there. Great, a great athletic guard.
Johnny Davis.
I think they had him going in the late teens. I don't necessarily think his workouts, you know what I'm saying, were as great as he thought they were in his mind, right? They, a lot of mocks got him going in the teens. And then there's another guy, like D-Kai had said, with Blake Wesley out of Notre Dame. Again, I think some of these names start coming up here real soon as the draft progresses.
Yep, absolutely. All right, John, anything else before we wrap, and then anything that comes live that we feel is breaking news on Facebook and go at it?
Nah, man, 2 hours ain't never enough now, is it, man? And like, I feel like we went real
fast. Not on draft night.
Yeah, we didn't go faster than any other time, but like, no, man, two hours went real fast tonight, man. But like, no, man, I want to thank all our callers for calling in. You know, saying we have some of the best callers here at Crossroads Sports. I won't call them out by name because then they'll be arguing on Facebook Live and Twitter and everywhere else because I go, you forgot about me. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to say we have some of the best callers. We also have some of the great listeners, best listeners as well that listen on our Facebook Live and as well. So again, man, I want to say I appreciate them. I also want to say I appreciate our sponsors. Scott K. Yeah. Nichols State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Motor Custom Sports, and Three Wise and Logistics. How can we do our show without our sponsors, man? So I want to say thanks to them as well. Outside of that, me and Brandon, I'll be right back at it next week, bigger, better than ever, man. I want to say, again, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.